How can we raise kids who enjoy eating foods that are also good for them? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will talk with a guest author who says what we need is a food culture like that of Italy. But even that, the rich food traditions of Europe are threatened by North American junk food. So what difficulties have you had getting your kids to eat healthy foods? Are you worried about the reach of food corporations and processed products? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Jeannie Marshall, a freelance journalist. Born in Canada, she now lives in Rome, Italy, with her husband and young son. And she is the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So why do you say children aren't getting real food?
Well, you know, it's one of those things when you start to think about what is food, and for me, that happened when I was reading Michael Pollan, of course, at the same time that I was living in Italy, and I had to really start thinking about what actually is real food. And for children, so often, it's packaged food, kid food, you know, little snacks and things that are, you know, appealing to children, and we all want to see our children eat. So, of course, we are, inclined to buy these things and watch them eat. But unfortunately, a lot of it, I don't know if it really does qualify as real food, you know, in the sense of things that grow.
So that you're saying that that kind of junk foody stuff, the processed foods, have really taken over. And that's what kids are eating these days. And they're not really eating things that are good for them.
Yes, and sometimes it's packaged foods that are meant to look like they're good for them, or they have a lot of nutritional claims, things like that. But they're really just highly processed foods, often with a lot of sugar in them, and the nutrition is quite likely artificial. You know, it's like taking vitamins rather than eating real food.
So what's different about the food in Italy?
Well, I would say in some ways it's not just the food, it's how they eat it. But I'll tell you a bit about the food, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have a rich variety of foods to choose from, and partly that's because of where the country is. They have a long growing season, but there are, you know, meals include fruits and vegetables, a little bit of meat, lots of grains, you know, pasta as well, of course, which everyone thinks is bad now, but I think is pretty good. And there's such a variety of foods to choose from. And once in a while, you do find people who don't like particular things, but there's so many different things that they eat. People are generally quite healthy.
Yeah, we have those foods around here in the U.S. too, or in North America, right?
Yes, many of them. Yeah, they're not strange things. Well, some are, but they're, you know, mostly, you know, I'm thinking about what I ate for lunch today. So it's afternoon for me here. I know it's morning for mm-hmm. you. I had a salad of fennel and oranges and some black olives. Well, probably all of those things, you know, you can get in America as well. But they've made it into a sort of a special dish that you would eat at this time of year because the oranges are still, you know, they're on the trees. They're coming out right now. They're quite fresh.
Oh, yum. So regional seasonal foods are
and,
are
and a little
focus.
Bit of olive oil as well, you know. Mm-hmm. It's so good. Yeah, regional and seasonal, yes, very much so.
So how is it, how is the food culture different than in Italy and how food is prepared and or consumed?
Well, I think there are a few things that are different. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, it's easier when you come from another place and you look at a culture that isn't your own. You know, there's a tendency sometimes to say, oh, they're doing it all wrong. You know? But there's also, if you can, step back and look and see what they're doing right, it can be quite interesting. So here, I think what is interesting is that they don't snack and graze all the time like we tend to do. And I think a lot of that is because we see a lot of advertisements telling us to, you know, grab a snack or that we have to eat on the go, whereas they're much more inclined to sit down at a table and eat a meal, you know, have lunch. Even if it's something they've brought from home, they'll sit down and eat it. My husband notes he works at an international organization, and he said it's always very interesting that the North Americans tend to eat quickly at their desks and then maybe run an errand at lunchtime, whereas the Europeans will all, you know, gather in little groups and sit down and talk to each other while they eat their food, even if it's things that they brought from home. So certainly I think there is that aspect of it that is very good, but not snacking, and, you know, you don't eat on public transportation, all of those sorts of things. But it's also just that they really like food. They have an attitude towards all of it. They don't really talk about nutrition so much as they talk about the pleasure of food, and often that includes the pleasure of vegetables, particularly seasonal vegetables. Even my son, I'm still amazed when this happens because I feel like I had nothing to do with this, but when the season changes and we go to the market and he'll say, oh, look, now it's time for spinach. Isn't that great? You know, I can't believe you're saying that.
All right, so how did you do that?
It just happens because other people around him are doing that. They're saying, oh, look, the season's changed. Now it's time for us to eat chicory now, or this great green called puntarelle that's a kind of bitter dandelion green that you eat as a salad, and it only comes in the winter. And so they haven't seen it for a while, so everyone's a bit excited. The artichokes, when they first arrive as well, everyone's excited to see them. And so he picks up on that excitement and says, wow, that must be good. You know, I have to try that. And then other children are doing the same thing. So it's reinforced in the culture. And I, of course, can help that by doing it myself, by enjoying my vegetables and preparing them at home and presenting them as though they are good things. And they are good things, not just healthy things, but
right.
Delicious things.
Yeah, it's not just healthy. I'm thinking back to my first memory of eating spinach, and it was probably a frozen package of spinach that was not very tasty.
Yes,
and it really I learned, I think, at that moment that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the I eat it now and I enjoy the taste now, but I probably avoided it most of my you know, young adult life because it wasn't one of my favorites. But you and most kids today still, you know, I think more and more children eat their vegetables more than maybe they did when I was a kid, but it still can be a struggle for many parents. I mean, did you have to do anything special in raising your son to get him to appreciate spinach?
Well, mainly I have to thank the cook at his school because they have a nice school lunch. And in fact, he still tells me that the school spinach is better than my spinach. I don't know what they do. I keep trying to ask them. I'm not sure what it is, but they just cook it in water, squeeze all the water out, and then they drizzle some olive oil on. But they do, there's a bit of salt, and maybe I'm not using enough salt, I don't know. But he says the cook's is much better than mine, but he'll eat mine as well. And I think it is just that it's a habit as well. He never sees a meal that doesn't include vegetables, so he always expects there to be vegetables. And certainly sometimes we encounter some that he doesn't like, and I do allow him to say that and have those, you know, have preferences. But, you know, as the seasons come and go, you pretty much have to eat what's available. And he, so far, he doesn't question that. He just does it.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he sees other kids doing the same thing at school. They're just presented with this one vegetable and they have to eat it, so they eat it.
So how do you think kids in North America are eating differently?
Well, just whenever I go back, usually it's Toronto for me that I've observed, but I've also been in New York watching children as well. And it seems that certainly if they have to take their lunch from school, there's such a wide variety of things. And it's hard to prepare a healthy lunch that will last several hours and still taste good in the middle of the day. So I think that's an issue. But there's so many packaged foods, you know, from everything, just from cookies and snacks or even from, you know, pre-made sandwiches. I saw kids bringing salads that probably came from the salad bar. It looked like Caesar salads with croutons and lots of creamy dressing on it. You know, not much that was probably nutritious except for the lettuce that was in that. So it seems that there's a lot of convenience foods, packaged foods, and outright junk food as well, because a lot of fast food restaurants tend to open up near schools, so that, you know, if they're eating out, if they're older kids, old enough to actually go out and eat something, that's often the lunch of choice as well.
Yeah, so who do you blame for, or who do you point the finger at when it comes to this lost art of feeding kids?
Well, blame is a strong word. I think that this happened, certainly, and I would say the food industry is very much a part of that, advertising things. I feel like they're not evil. They were just trying to make money. And in some ways, trying to do something and say, hey, everyone says we have to spend too much time cooking. Let's create these foods, you know, that are easy to prepare. And you could just pop them in the microwave and eat them. And it, on the surface, that seems like a great idea, you know, to save time. But ultimately, we've lost so much. We've lost, for many of us, we've lost the ability to cook for ourselves, which is, you know, I think something, it's so important to know. It's a life skill, but we're losing the ability to cook. And we develop a taste for foods that are highly processed. And they're not good for us. And so ultimately they're not. They have things that are, you know, that are probably too much fat, too much salt, all the things that we've heard about, chemicals that we don't even really know what they do to us. So I do blame that industry, although I don't think it set out to make us sick. I think it just set out to, you know, make some money and maybe solve a problem, but it ended up creating a bigger problem in the process. And I see that happening here. I see the same advertisements starting to try to convince people that they don't need to cook. You know, just open a bag of frozen spaghetti and drop it in a pan. And I think, you know, really, I can't believe, you know, that people would do that. Pasta is the easiest thing to cook.
But, yeah. People in Italy don't put a frozen pizza in the oven, do they?
I'm afraid to say that I've seen it. I've never seen it happen, but I have seen people buying them in the supermarket. So I assume they're actually putting them in their ovens.
Do other parents in Italy have to, I don't know, convince not buy the potato chips or some sort of attractive snack at the grocery store with your child? Does he even want it?
Yes. Oh, yes, he wants it. And I have to watch it, too, because I love potato chips. But, you know, I can't eat too many of them. So we do try to be careful. And mostly the thing that works the best for us is not to go to the supermarket. So I do try to shop in the regional markets that they have there. You know, these are, you know, have a long history in Italy to have a market in the morning. So in Rome, there's one fairly near to where I live, and it's open only in the mornings, which is an old style as well. That was for the housewives to go out and buy their food for the day and come back and prepare lunch and then prepare dinner. Well, now most of those women are off at work, and so this poses problems for them too. They have to actually have markets with hours when people can actually cook. But the markets are great because they're full of fresh food. You know, they're things you have to wash and chop and cook and maybe look up recipes for. It's not all prepared foods for you like you'd be more tempted by in the supermarket, and certainly no junk food as well.
Our guest is Jeannie Marshall. She is the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food, talking about how the food industry, processed foods, fake foods, packaged snacks, sugary cereals have pretty much taken over the grocery store shelves in North America. And our guest says that she is trying to raise her son on natural whole foods, teaching him the pleasure of eating and preparing foods that are seasonal and regional and tasty and good for him. And we're welcoming your observations on this issue and your questions and your suggestions, too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you agree that we have lost the art of feeding our children and that we're depending too much on processed foods instead of real food? This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with Jeannie Marshall. She is the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your own stories and experiences. What difficulties have you had getting your children to eat real, healthy foods? Are you worried about the reach of food corporations or processed products? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And let's take a call from Marilyn in Reedsburg. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi. I agree with your guest totally that we have really bad food in our institutions, especially schools. I've been working about 5 years trying to connect local growers and producers in our area with institutions, and so you can't do it unless you get a chef in the school or a chef in the hospital, because they don't know how to cook. The people that work there in food service just have to be good at ordering the right amount and knowing how much to make and having it warm. It has nothing to do with being able to cook. And if the other kids don't see, you know, their friends eating good food, they're not going to want it either. So I agree totally. We need to get chefs, so people that are in positions of power like school boards or on PTOs or anything, they should really encourage their schools to hire a chef, because I really don't think they're very expensive, but that would make all the difference.
I agree. I think that makes a huge difference. And at my son's school, they have a cook, and she just prepares one menu per day, so the children even don't have a choice. They actually have to eat this one menu, and, you know, because it's a food culture, they tend to agree that these things are all good. It's a little bit easier, but it also means that she can include very good vegetables, nice, you know, soups that include vegetables and grains and things like that, and they will all eat it, because she's also found if you give them a choice, they tend to take the thing that is the most plain or the most simple, whereas if you just give them the nice bean soup, they'll all eat it. You know, it's brilliant, and it works, and it teaches them to like food, like real food.
Interesting. So the school lunch at your son's school is not, you can have chicken nuggets or macaroni and cheese and pizza. I mean, those are the popular things for the most part on school lunches.
Yeah, no, at his school lunches, they have two courses plus vegetables. So they always start out with either risotto soup or pasta that will involve vegetables in the that part of the meal too. And then they have a second plate that has either cheese or meat or fish or eggs and vegetables on the side. So sometimes it's a salad, or sometimes it's this brilliant spinach that I keep hearing all about, or it's broccoli or whatever. And then they just have a piece of fruit at the end, and they just drink water. There's no, you know, they don't even bother with milk, because it's not really a big part of the culture here. So it's quite simple. And actually, in fact, it also cuts down on food waste, because there aren't choices, so they don't have to prepare a lot of food that they know they're going to end up throwing out.
Interesting. So are the foods farm-to-table kind of foods?
Yes. In fact, at this school that he's going to now, it was, in fact, all over Rome, they had only organic produce from small farmers. And recently they changed it, although a lot of schools gave the parents the option, if they wanted to pay a little bit, they could have organic food, and many schools did. They did do that. And so, yeah, I see them delivering the food. You know, this man pulls up with a big van and drops off these big crates of food a few times a week. So it's fantastic, and it supports the local economy as well. I think it's a great system.
TT on Facebook says, if our culture celebrated families like Italy by actually allowing them to spend time with their family rather than work, we would have a healthier lifestyle. What do you think of that?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I think that's so true. And even, you know, unfortunately, it's partly, you know, the sort of the global economy, it's happening here as well. The idea of work is taking hold, although family is still very strong in Italy. And it's also nice that children are included in everything. So when you have a big, in fact, last night I had several people over for dinner. I wouldn't dream of feeding my son first or feeding him something different. He just ate what we ate. You know, he participated in the whole evening, you know, with the vegetables, the raw vegetables at the beginning, right through the courses, and vegetables at the end, and then some fruit, and off to bed. And, you know, it was great. And also in restaurants, you can take children to any restaurant, and for the most part, they don't have children's menus. They're just expected to eat with their parents, and if they're really tiny, they'll probably just eat off their parents' plates, or many places will prepare, you know, a half portion of something for a child. And I think that's great, too. They don't treat them differently. They're part of the group, and I think that's very important.
I did a trip to to Italy some years ago now, and I remember in Rome being fed what was considered like, this was for a special occasion. I think they were saying that this is what you might get fed at a wedding or something like that. And it was a tremendous amount of food. I mean, it was one course after the other after the other. It was delicious, but I also thought I may not make it on the plane.
I know. But I think also that's what happens to us when we go on holiday, too. We go to restaurants and we eat, you know, it's meant to impress us, so we eat a lot more. And certainly at weddings, yes. I went to an event once where there were 14 courses, and I realized what people told me, you just taste it. You don't actually eat, you know.
Oh, now they tell me.
I know. They told me at about course 5, I think, when I thought I was not going to make it through the rest of the evening. But certainly Italians are known for overeating at weddings and Christmas and things like that. But generally, people don't overeat in their own homes. They do, you know, eat a simple meal, often not courses, sometimes two courses. Maybe it's just one plate and then the vegetables would be the second plate. But people talk about piatto unico, just meaning one plate for dinner. It's just a simplified meal. So, but when they go out, they like to celebrate, and they'll probably start with the antipasto and end about 6 hours later with an espresso. So that's very true. That's part of it. But that's a bit more of the celebratory culture rather than the everyday culture.
Getting back to how we work so much and how that's also happening a little bit more worldwide, that we maybe don't feel we have the time to put together a home-cooked meal as often as we would like. You know, are there ways to adapt a busy work life to cooking more?
I think so, because I see my friends doing this who, you know, they have jobs and they run home late, you know, and have to prepare something. I've noticed a lot of people using slow cookers. They've taken hold here. I guess that makes sense because there's so many dishes that they make that have to cook for quite a long time. So that makes sense if you can throw things in the morning and have it ready when you get home. And also just a lot of simple meals. I've noticed people, you know, pan frying a bit of fish and putting a salad together, things like that, or just a simple risotto with vegetables. So it might take half an hour of cooking time altogether. Usually things that take about half an hour or 40 minutes to cook. So you know, stand around the kitchen together getting caught up. And if everybody's involved in setting the table, you can do it pretty quickly. You know, it might take the same amount of time to thaw out and cook a frozen meal, really. Sometimes I don't think those things save you any time. There's just that illusion of it. But it does require planning. I think that's the main thing. You have to think ahead, and you have to have the food in your house, so you have to have shopped. Those things are very important, not just the cooking.
Yeah.
So it's the organization, and that's where, you know, we can all do better. I can do better. That's the hard part.
Besides working too much, maybe even some families in America are working, you know, three jobs just to make ends meet. What about the affordability of eating the Italian way?
Yes, that is an issue, definitely, because in Italy it is cheaper, in fact, to buy food from the farmer. Is actually quite, if you go to the farmer's market, many people go because it's more economical. And when you think about it, it should be that way. You know, like industrially grown food really is quite expensive, and yet it's so subsidized that it ends up being cheaper to the consumer. Yet, you know, there's so many things sprayed on them, all the fertilizers, all of that labor-intensive work is sort of keeps the price artificially low. So there are big structural changes that I think have to happen to make good food more affordable for people. And, you know, I know there's been a big discussion about minimum wage and things like that so that people can earn enough money at a single job rather than having to try to hold down two full-time jobs just to feed their families. You know, those are certainly things that have to change as well, because it's all part of a, you know, a system, of course. And so we're seeing that the system is broken in many places, not just the food, but all the way down the chain. So there's so many things to fix, and you can start in your own kitchen, and that can have repercussions as well, because you're starting to select better food, better quality food. Maybe you're buying less food overall, but your choices in the market have to have some effect on what's actually, you know, going to be available later on. As more people want fresh food, as the demand grows, someone has to supply it.
Did you, Jeannie, have to I don't know, teach yourself how to cook? How did that work?
I did. I could cook a little bit, and I liked cooking, but I was always more, trying out different ethnic recipes and things. And when I came to Italy, I couldn't find the ingredients for a lot of things that I knew how to make. So I ended up going into the markets and just asking them, if I bought a piece of meat, I say, how should I cook this? Or do you have a recipe for me for these particular seasonal vegetables? And people were always so happy to tell me, or I would go looking for something in particular, and then they would say, oh, no, don't make that. Here, this is what you should make. And so I learned to make a lot of things, like the great soups, the great vegetable soups that are so delicious and really quite easy to make, and lots of pasta dishes. And, Italian food is very simple, at least in Rome. It's quite, it can be more complicated in other parts of the country, but the food I was buying here was quite simple, and I was just learning from them how to season things properly and then just, cook it in a very simple way. I did learn to cook from them.
One of the only soups that I can make, and I followed a recipe, is minestrone. It's my favorite.
Oh, yes. I love it. I do love it.
Are you teaching and you are trying to get your son to cook his own food?
Yes, he participates. So he's 9 now, and so he can do more things. In fact, and he wants to do a few more things. So I've, taught him how to turn on the stove, and he can use a knife, so he does do some of the chopping. And for the most part, he enjoys doing it. It gives him a sense of autonomy. And I keep telling him that when he's older and he goes to university, that he'll be very popular if he knows how to cook, because people will want to come and spend time at his place. So I keep trying to present it to him as, this is a good skill to have. And I think he sees it that way as well, because he likes to eat good food. So, I have to know how to make it.
Interesting, too. My husband just made last night Italian white bean chili, and it was so good, and it was even better because he made it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, the more people you can get in your family to cook, the better it is. If it's not all the burden of one person, I think share that a little bit. It's good for everyone.
This, by the way, had sweet potatoes and kale in it, and it was
really?
It was so good. It wasn't just white kidney beans. So,
I love that.
How do you just make your son, for the most part, his meal and say here, or do you have him plan the meal and go shopping and have a play a part in it so he's more invested in it?
Well, when he was smaller and he wasn't in school, he used to come with me all the time to go to the market, and we would talk about it, and he would, express an interest in certain things, or he'd be lured by colors of fruits and vegetables and want to try them. But I do ask him, do you want me to make something special this week? But mostly I set the menu myself, because I'm a bit of an autocrat, I guess, so... I figure if I'm going to do the cooking, then I'll make most of the decisions. But I get him involved. And, I listen to him as well. If there's something that he really likes, then, I'll make it again for him. And, we try a few new things. But he eats really well in terms of Italian food, like the minestra, the soups and beans. One of his favorite things are these little white beans. They're called fagioli di purgatorio, purgatory beans. And I keep asking people, why are they called purgatory beans? And everyone laughs at me and says, I don't know. I have no idea why they're called this. Must be some old name.
Yeah, they're so good, but they did, I don't know, I'm not sure.
No, it's so funny. They're small. You can cook them in about half an hour. They don't have to be soaked overnight. So lots of people do make them. But you just, simmer them, and then you drain them, and then you just cook them you just eat them with a little bit of olive oil, a bit of salt and pepper, and you can actually add a bit of sage to it to liven it up. It's the simplest thing, and yet so delicious. It's just so good. Those few things are better than the sum of their parts, it seems. Just combine these three things, and it's fantastic.
Mm.
So that's one of the things I love about the cooking here, is it's all just very, very easy and very, very simple.
Well, what can parents who are listening now learn from your experience? What advice might you have for them to get their kids to really, eat real food rather than junk food?
Yeah, well... Certainly the junk food, it's always a battle, but I think to get them to eat the good food, so concentrate more on getting them to eat more of what you think is good, and and to emphasize how good it is, how delicious it is, the pleasure of it. You know, enjoy it yourself, and also make it taste good. My mother used to try to get us to eat vegetables, but she had a bit of the medicinal approach, and so she would give us steamed broccoli with nothing on it. And now I've discovered, okay, a little bit of olive oil actually makes it taste quite good. And sometimes they tend to cook it in salted water here, and so that makes it taste good. And if you're not eating a lot of processed foods, you can use a bit of salt in your cooking. It's not such a big deal, of course. But that, I think, makes a world of difference. And finding recipes that include vegetables, like those great minestrone soups, they make really nice soups that they puree here with lots and lots of vegetables, squash and greens and all kinds of things. And then it's pureed into a nice sort of velvety smoothness. And it doesn't have cream in it. It's just the vegetables. And that is so good. I've never seen a kid not like that kind of soup. They often serve it with a little bit of Parmesan grated into it. And it's delicious. So kids really like that. They get used to the taste of the vegetables that way. It's hard. You know, if a kid has gone for a long time thinking they don't like vegetables, it's hard to change them overnight. But gradually introducing this idea that these are delicious things and not emphasizing the health. You can emphasize the health as they get a bit older and they can, you know, deal with that intellectually. But I think just all they really care about is something that tastes good. That's what they want. And then soon they'll develop a taste for it and they'll want it and they'll miss it if it's not in their diet.
So do you have issues with picky eaters or kids who just want pizza or chicken nuggets, or are you having some luck in your home with your children loving real food? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Jeannie Marshall. She's a freelance journalist who was born in Canada and now lives in Rome with her husband and her young son. And she certainly learned a lot about food culture in Italy. And we are talking about that. We're talking about the lost art of feeding kids and what Italy taught me about why children need real food. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We're talking about how we can raise our children to enjoy eating tasty and healthy foods. Talking with the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'd love to know your questions or your experiences with feeding our kids real foods. Shelley says, adults need to be aware of how their insensitive comments about foods can influence kids. Saying things like, ew, I'd never eat an avocado, can really turn off children to these things. We need to exercise more caution with our words. What do you say to that, Jeannie?
Oh, I think that's really true. In fact, I've been having an email conversation with a woman, an American woman, who's married to an Italian, but she said she had a sort of negative reaction to the way he was with food, that he always thought everything Italians did was so superior, so this drove her crazy. But they have a 2-year-old daughter who she said just will not eat anything but plain pasta. And so she's been titling her emails to me, The Revolution, because she's been reading my book, and she said it changed her attitude, that she started to realize that she was the problem, not her daughter, that in fact it was the things that she was saying about the food that made her daughter then not want to eat it, of course, and be a bit confused by it. So she said once she started to sit down and eat lunch with her daughter instead of just giving her something to eat, they would eat together, they would eat the same food, and you know, she would express pleasure over it. She said it started to change, and she said, in fact, it started to change quite quickly. And her husband's happier, too, because now she has to acknowledge the superiority of Italian food culture, I guess.
Now, we have other callers, so let me go to Laura in Duluth next. Hello, Laura.
Hi. I've been enjoying the conversation, and I just wanted to share. My kids actually eat vegetables great, and I've had people comment, how do you get your kids to eat vegetables? And I just said, told them, my kids never knew they weren't supposed to like them. Like, I've just put them out on their tray, starting with finger food, you know, just cutting it up small, right from the time they started Cheerios, you know, even vegetables were on their tray. And also, I like to try and create many different styles of vegetables, you know, broiled with a little bit of olive oil and garlic salt on broccoli and just simple things that improve the taste. But they just also never had any idea that they weren't supposed to like them. And so that's what we eat and that's what we put on their plates. And they all eat vegetables very well. I think, you know, just like the other caller said, the attitude you have towards your food, your kids pick up on that. And even other kids, my kids have friends over who've eaten stuff that their parents said they ate that. Oh, my gosh, I could never get them to eat that. But when they see my kids all sitting eating it, they kind of look around and go, oh, it must not be too bad. And then they dive in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's so true. Kids really learn from each other. I noticed that once with it was at a seafood restaurant, and the waiter brought out all of these sardines and things that I thought, and, you know, tentacles of octopus and things, and I thought, oh, I wonder what my son is going to eat. And then all of these little kids, they were about 4 years old, they just started scooping these things onto their plates and eating them and talking, and then it was so delicious. So he did it too. He did exactly the same thing. And then when the salad came, he ate the salad. And that's when I thought, it's amazing. You know, if they see other children eating food, they will, of course, they will eat it too. You know, it's natural. We do it too. You know, if we see someone else enjoying something that seems a bit strange to us, we might be more inclined to try it. I think that's how people end up eating escargot, although I'm not going to do it.
Of all things, I had, yeah, on the same trip to Europe, we did the escargot too.
Yes.
So, and Jeannie, your son, who's 9 years old, doesn't say, Mom, I want to try some, you know, junk food and whining for foods.
He does, yes, once in a while. And so once in a while, I let him try something. There was, you know, like sort of junky-looking yogurts. It was a yogurt that had candy on the top.
Oh, yeah.
And it was being advertised as a healthy snack. And I told them, you know, it's not healthy. That's candy. It's not a snack. But then he finally said, can I try it one day? And first I said no, and then I could see that he was resisting me, and I said, okay, of course, you can try anything, so let's try it. So he did, and he's never asked for it again, which was good. You know, I think he's had normal yogurt, and he quite likes it, just plain yogurt with maybe a bit of honey in it, and he likes that. So for him, it was just curiosity. You know, he just wanted to try it. And I realized if I were making a big deal out of it, that would be more of a problem.
Yeah, and do you, is he not watching commercials on television about whatever the latest fad food is?
No, no, he sees them, definitely. And fast food restaurants, that's a problem because they do advertise quite heavily here to children. In fact, there was an advertisement on a bus stop right outside of his school for one of them, one of the famous ones. And it was, you know, he's curious. And fortunately, most of the kids he knows don't really go. But he's now, so I, you know, when he was really young, it wasn't an issue. It didn't come up. Now it has come up a few times, but now we've actually talked about livestock. We go to the country quite a lot, so he sees cows and he thinks they're interesting. He understands that we eat them, but that these cows seem to live good lives, and so that's good. So we've talked about fast food generally doesn't use that kind of meat. They have to, you know, get meat from more intensive livestock and growing livestock. And so he doesn't like that idea that the animals weren't treated well. So he's gotten to the age that you can appeal to his intellect. And so it's not about the food so much. In this case, it's more about the way the animals are being treated. So far he hasn't eaten in a fast food restaurant. And I can't believe that that's true, but it is. It hasn't become a big issue yet.
Mary in Pewaukee is with us. Hello, Mary.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to just mention that someone had posted something on Facebook, and they said that there are 5 words to give to your child, and that would be, you don't have to eat. But you call them to the dinner table, and they sit there with the rest of the family, you know, which I think actually is a good idea, and you are only planning one meal for everyone. but they don't have to eat. So I just wanted your guest's opinion or anyone that would call in on what they feel about that.
Well, I haven't encountered that situation because Italian kids just eat. They really do eat. But I can imagine if you just want the child to start to feel more comfortable about sitting at the table, that's not a bad idea, really, to take the pressure away. Say, just come and be with us, you know, while we're here at the table. So, excuse me, I just have to cough.
Let me let you take a sip of water as I remind our listeners that we are talking with Jeannie Marshall. She is the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. And that's we're talking about how the food culture in Italy is still different than it is here in North America. Yet she mentions it's changing, too, that there's more influence from the big food or the food industry, you know, more processed foods and the like getting involved. But how do we get our kids to avoid the junk foods and the processed foods and feed them more real, tasty and healthy foods? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me ask you, Jeannie, why is it so important, whether it's in Italy or here in America, for kids to sit down at the table and have this meal with the family, a meal of whole foods? Why do children need real food?
Well, I would say it's partly because food is so much more than nourishment. You know, it is partly how you relate to the people around you. It's how you relate to your family. And it gives you a sense of your own identity, even, you know, that we live in a part of the world where they grow whatever it is, you know, a specific kind of food. In Rome, there's this puntarelle I mentioned before, this bitter chicory. And Romans really identify themselves with that food. So I think there's those things that are really healthy, and it gives you good associations. So that ultimately the health benefits are almost a side benefit of this, of all of these nice interactions that you have, or sometimes, you know, you argue, but the interactions, the relationships that you have with your friends and your family and your community, and then that leads you to healthy food.
Let's go to John in Richland Center next. Hello, John.
Hi, good morning. Speaking of good Italian food, my mother, she made a nice garden in the backyard, and she had four boys, and she sent us all boys out there to go collect tomatoes that were vine-raped. And that was the best thing she could have done to teach us how to eat vegetables.
Yeah. And I agree, because if you pull it off of a tomato off of a vine in your backyard, there's probably nothing in the world better than that, Jeannie.
No, I think that's true. In fact, there's a little garden at my son's school, and he brought home lettuces that they had grown. And he doesn't love salad, but he'll eat them sometimes. So we washed them. We made a salad out of it. And he would hardly give me any of it. He just wanted to eat this big bowl of salad because he was so delighted that he had grown it himself and he had picked it. And, you know, it was more than just a lettuce leaf for him. So I think that's very true. Getting kids involved in growing food and seeing where it comes from makes them want to eat it even more.
Yeah. Bonnie Jean on Facebook says, besides making extravagant breakfasts for Oscar, her child, I believe, I do heavy-duty meal planning each Sunday. Ever since he could eat, he eats what we eat. I, too, work full-time, and I make meals and cooking a priority. I also involve him in the process. He has a little step stool in the kitchen. And guess what? He eats just about everything I put in front of him. Last night, he gobbled up black beans, sweet potato, and kale enchiladas.
That doesn't sound like a child, does it?
But isn't that, I mean, I assume that you would, I don't know, second that motion.
Oh, yes. No, and I think it's very heartening to hear these stories when people do that, because I think, you know, yes, it's great that in Italy this is how they eat, but there's no reason why we can't eat that way in America and Canada or wherever we are. It's not just the foods, it's the attitude, and, you know, that's a great attitude to have. It's a busy person who takes the time to plan her meals, but ultimately it's probably less work overall because she's not fighting with her child to make him eat, and she's only preparing one meal. She doesn't have to prepare something special for him. So I think in the end, you put in a little bit of effort, but you get so much more out of it. And it's, you know, it's a pleasure to see your child eat something like that.
Kyle in Madison is with us. Hello, Kyle.
Hello. My grandmother and mother always cooked, and my mom had us participate. She worked full time, so we'd prep and do lots of things that we were, as we got older, more responsibility. But home-cooked food, it's all you have to do is, you know, bring home a McDonald's, because you were talking about fast food, bring home a McDonald's burger, and then grill one up on the back, and then feed them to your child and say, which one's better, Junior? And children have taste buds. They can definitely tell the difference, and they know good food. And once they realize, like I, you know, never was very satisfied with store-bought cookies or sweets or any of the junk food, except potato chips. Can't make potato chips as good at home. But
that's probably true.
I can't. Not like I do it very often, or, you know, it's a big goal of mine. But anyway, home-cooked food is always better. It surprises me that people, it's cheaper to cook at home than it is to eat in fast food or processed foods. So really we should be talking about the economics of, let alone the health benefit, of course, but, you know, the economics of home cooking. So thanks and have a great show.
Yeah, thanks, Kyle.
In fact, we do make hamburgers sometimes, especially in the summer, and it can be quite a healthy thing. There's nothing wrong with it if you're not using, you know, a huge whack of meat, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with it at all. And so often there's a bit of disconnect between how those foods look in the advertisements for them and how they actually look when you get them. They don't look that great. And anything you can make, as you say, is going to taste better and probably look better in the end. And certainly the economics. There's a whole, there's something in Italy called la cucina povera, which just means poor people's cooking. And it's a whole style of cooking where you use absolutely everything. You don't throw anything out, including the ends of your vegetables that you use to make, you know, vegetable stock with. And if you're boiling, if you cook beans, you save that water and you use it in other things. And, you know, people can eat very well and quite cheaply as well, and just with very probably minimal meat, more grains and vegetables and things like that. And part of the culture is to grow food, too, to have a little garden.
Well, I'm wondering how, if you're optimistic that we can get our kids back to eating in a healthier way and eating following the Italian food culture.
Yeah, I think that it is happening in pockets here and there. And the more people who do take this kind of an approach to food, they're influencing other people as well. So it starts with cooking, and then it starts with, oh, well, you know, I can also get fat on my own cooking if I'm not careful. So it starts with also then establishing rules about, okay, we'll just eat meals, we won't snack all the time. And if you decide you're going to make all of your food, you suddenly realize you're eating a lot, many fewer cookies, because it takes effort to make cookies, so you're not going to make them all the time. I discovered that with muffins. I used to eat a muffin on my way to work every day when I lived in Toronto, and when I came to Rome, you can't buy muffins. They don't exist here.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, well, thank you. It was such a pleasure. Thank you.
Jeannie Marshall is the author of The Lost Art of Feeding Kids, What Italy Taught Me About Why Children Need Real Food. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Bill Martins for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Mm-hmm.